Well, good morning. It's great to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And just to really know and sense God's presence with us and among us. And God is a good God, amen? And we look at the world, and the world is, we live in a pretty crazy world, don't we? When we see all the things that are happening and the circumstances in the world, even in our nation, where we're in the process of, we voted a week ago, and I think we're just about worked out where we are. But it takes a while, but God is always in control, isn't he? Amen, amen. We've got our opening in Digger's Rest, opening in 2 weeks' time. We're really looking forward to that. And so next Sunday at 2 o'clock, we're having in Digger's Rest, we're having what we're calling our pre-launch. And so we'll be going down there, and you're invited to come along down there. And if you haven't been there, you haven't seen what we're doing there, well, great chance to go along there. We'll be having a little service there and really spending some time in prayer, really praying over that area. And really committing that to the Lord. And again, thank you to all those who came out and helped hand out all the flyers. Yesterday, we had a great time. It was a beautiful day. And we praise God for that as well. On the 24th is our grand launch. And so what's happening from 12 o'clock, from 12:30, we'll be having a jumping castle there. There'll be some show bags for the kids and a free sausage sizzle. We're inviting the whole community to come. So that's the official launch, is when all the community are coming. And we've been putting out flyers and newspaper ads and all sorts of things, inviting people along to that, building relationships in the community. And so that's going to go from 12:30 to 2 o'clock. Then we're going to have a one-hour service from 2 to 3, and then we'll open all that up again after that service. So if you want to come along, you're welcome to come along and be a part of that launch. There's about 55 chairs, so if we all go, we're in trouble. But if some of you want to go, that would be good. And if some of you just really have a heart to serve and say, look, I want to do something. You look at the church here and you think, oh, well, there's lots of people doing lots of stuff, but we need some help and things. And so if you really want to help in Digger's Rest and commit yourself, that, you know, there's that opportunity to do that. Well, we're just going to watch a little clip, but let's just pray before we watch this little clip together. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you're an amazing God who just fills us with wonder of who you are, Lord, and your love and your grace upon our lives. And Father, we just pray, Lord, that when we open the word this morning, that you speak to each and every one of us. Lord, we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. I mean, let's just watch this little clip. It reads the scripture that we're looking at in John 15, and it'll read the passage to us. So let's just watch this.
I am the true vine. And my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other.
Okay, well, obviously we want to talk this morning. I want to talk about bearing fruit and being fruitful in our lives, in our daily life. And so really want to look at each of us individually. I want us to focus on looking at your own life. The things I'm going to be talking about this morning, don't want anyone thinking, oh, gee, this is a good message for someone else. This is for you today. God is talking to you and he's talking to me. And I believe God wants to look at, want us to examine our hearts and our lives. And certainly we're here in Grow Church. We're about growing. We're not just about placating or making us feeling good. We want to grow to be everything God wants us to be, what he made us to be. And so I want to talk about this morning. A few weeks ago, we spoke about the fork, about having the power of the Spirit in our lives. If you missed that, think, what was that all about? Then go online, listen to it. We talked about the briefcase, what God has given us. We've talked about the door and how there's that intimacy, that intimate place God is inviting us into, and whether we open that door or not. Pastor Patricia spoke about really being connected in, that we want to thrive and not just survive. And this morning, I really want to talk about us bearing fruit in our lives, that there'll be a fruitfulness that will come out of our heart and out of our life. This passage that was just read to us, it really speaks about God. First of all, it's interesting, though, it says from the beginning about being the true vine. He says, I am the true vine. And so whenever there's something true, then the opposite of that, there's obviously something false. And the reality is a lot of people can tap into a whole lot of other stuff in this world and in this life that's not real, that's not going to sustain them, that's not really going to give them life, not going to give them fulfillment or the purpose or the accomplishment of what God wanted them to be. And so we want to make sure that we're tapped into the true vine. And this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ, right from the beginning, my challenge is for you today, tap in to the true vine. You tap into Jesus Christ. But for those of us who do know Jesus Christ, it talks about the Father. He's been the one who owns the vineyard. And as the Father owning the vineyard, he's the one that comes, and he comes and he inspects the vineyard. And he has a look at the vineyard, and the scripture tells us that he is the vine and we are the branches. And so you are one of the branches. We are the branches. You are the branch. I'm the branch. And we are got to be rooted in and connected to the Lord that we might bear fruit. But that's what he's looking for. He's looking for fruit. And if the Lord was here this morning, which he is by the power of his Spirit, he'd come to each and every one of us. And by the Father, who is the one who owns the vineyard, he comes and he looks at our hearts and he looks at your life and he looks at my life and he says, are you bearing any fruit? Is there any fruit coming out of your life? Because that's what God looks for. He looks for fruit. And it's one thing to say, well, I'm a vine, but where is your fruit? And that's what God will want to hone in on this morning, what the Lord wants to, by his Spirit, challenge us and look for fruit on us. Because some people are believers and they believe in Jesus Christ. They believe he died on the cross and he died in their place for their sin, that he defeated sin and death, and that he rose again from the dead, and they've accepted Jesus and they believe in him, but they've never actually become a true disciple. And the difference between a believer and a disciple is there's someone who's actually allowed the Lord to work in their life, but ultimately they will grow and ultimately they will be bearing fruit. And so the question is about fruit. And it says in John 15:8, and part of that long passage that we read, if you've got a bookmark when you came in, you'll have these scriptures that will come up on the screen. So verse 8 will come up separately. John 15, verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. And so it's for the Father's glory that you're to bear much fruit. I'm to bear much fruit. And it's not for my glory. It's not for my benefit. It's for the glory of the Father. But by doing so, we show ourselves to be his disciples. And so whether we're a disciple or not, it depends on what is the fruitfulness of our life. What is the fruit there? As the Father, the one who owns the vineyard, comes and expects your life and expects my life, and he's looking for fruit. And if there's fruit there, we're showing ourselves that we are his disciples. And again, in that passage, verse 16 of the passage we just had read to us, it says, you did not choose me. God chose us. But I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so it's part of God's plan, part of his purpose for each of our lives that we're going to be bearing fruit. It's not enough to say, well, I'm on the vine. But if we're really on the vine, we'll see as we go on that we're going to be producing fruit in our lives. The Lord is looking for fruitfulness in your life. It's how you show yourself to be a disciple. And so as we're going through these things this morning, I want you to look at your own life and do a little inspection, a little personal self-examination. Look over yourself and say, yeah, is there any fruit there? Because that's what the Lord looks for upon your life. He looks for fruit. So I want you to look at your own heart, your own life, and say, is there any fruit in my life? Now, I'll talk about what the fruit is and what it looks like later on. But we want to do that. That's the heart of this morning, inspecting our heart and seeing if there's fruit in there. Now, the important thing that this scripture tells us, and you'll notice that the main theme of this scripture, if you read through that passage again and go home and have a look over it, you'll see the framework. It starts talking about fruit, but also woven all the way through that is love. In fact, the final word is the command. It says, love one another. Verse 17 says, command, and this is my command, that you love one another. But you'll see that love and the heart of love is woven all the way through that. And Jesus makes it very clear, and he says that I am the vine. So the Father is the one who comes and he's looking for us for fruit. But he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And we need to be connected in with Jesus. That's where life comes in. And becoming a believer is the starting point of that, is to coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ and surrendering to him. But then it talks about us staying to remain in him and to abide in him and to come to a place. See, the heart of fruitfulness, what causes you to bring fruit? It comes out of intimacy. It comes out of that connection that we have with our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where fruit will come out of our heart and out of our life. And it's a good way people think, oh, well, I'm really walking closely with Jesus. But if you haven't got any fruit, I would really question that. I would question that within myself. I'm not questioning it within you. But if I looked at my own life and there was no fruit there, I'd really question whether how really connected am I to the vine. Because if I'm connected to the source of life, then fruit is going to come. It's going to flow out of my life. And so basically Jesus is saying right at the very beginning of this passage about us being rooted in him, being grounded in him, connected to him. And it's a way that's a very intimate connection, that there's a join together that is very intimate. In fact, it's really our whole life, our whole substance comes from. We sang about that this morning, didn't we? Did you sing that this morning? Or did you just sit there? No, I think you sang that. We sang this morning about everything coming from the Lord and everything is his. And the reality, it is true, because the scripture said, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you are nothing. In fact, without him, we've really got no point. But with Jesus, we have life and we have hope. But it comes out of intimacy with Jesus Christ. Now, if I was to ask you, what does intimacy look like with Jesus Christ? What does it mean? What does it mean to be intimate with Jesus? Is it means that you're 24 hours, you know, you become like a monk, go up into a monastery, become a monk, and all you do 24 hours a day is you pray. You might occasionally eat, maybe grab some sleep, but that is the ultimate of intimacy with God. Is that the ultimate thing? I don't believe that actually is. But some people think the only expression of that intimacy is if I always was just with the Lord all of the time. I believe it's far more than that, far deeper than that, far greater than that. In fact, I think monks who are up on the mountain forever and that's their life have missed the whole idea about what intimacy with Christ is and really what that means. Because I don't believe they'd be bearing a lot of fruit, even though they shut themselves away in that time. Certainly that we need to be with the Lord and we need to pray. We need to have that. But again, our prayer life is an expression of our intimacy. It's not the intimacy. It's an expression of that. It's a part of expressing intimacy. What I would say is what intimacy with the Lord, which causes life to flow out of our hearts, is that sense of always knowing that the Lord is with you. We talked about that. He promised us, I'll never leave you or forsake you, a couple of weeks ago. But to know that he's always with you. The Bible talks about abiding or dwelling. It's always knowing that God is with me wherever I am, whatever I do, wherever I go. There's the knowing that's within our heart. It's that deep knowing that's beyond mental understanding and comprehension. It's something rooted deep within us. That he's always there with me. And I don't have to stretch far to find him. And I don't have to cry out in desperation and beg him. But there's that abiding that he is always there with me. He's always there. There's the peace that that brings. There's the strength that that brings. The encouragement that brings. The life it brings. The hope it brings. Everything flows out of that. And that really is what intimacy with the Lord is. And yet, praying is an expression. It's a part of that. But it's deeper than that. Because when Paul says pray continuously, you can't be in a prayer meeting 24 hours a day. You can try to be the monk up the mountain. But it's more, it's far beyond that. It's a deepness that's within us. And that's what he's invited us into, that kind of relationship. And so he said in verse 4a, he says, remain in me and I also remain in you. That we're always walking closely with him all the time. Always, always that sense of God's there. And so even when we go through the toughest times, you don't fall apart and you don't give up because you're abiding. You just, he's there. And praying is not like something that sometimes when people pray, it's like they're casting out this thing somewhere. They're casting out their prayer that God will hear it as it floats up through the heavenlies. But if you have that sense of abiding, it's just, it's there now. I can pray now and there's a now presence of God in our heart and in our life. And I know now that I can pray and I'm not praying to the wall or other people, that there's that sense of intimacy. That's what he wants us to walk in, that abiding sense of he's with me. And so the little sweetest whisper, he hears that. The slightest thought of the Lord hears it because there's that sense of abiding, and that's the place that he invites us into. But even that intimacy of being connected into that vine, he's the vine where the branches, there's another part of that. And it certainly comes to that part of just total dependence and reliance on the Lord. Total reliance on the Lord. People say that, oh Lord, I trust in you. They'll sing it loudly, I rely on you, I trust in you, Lord, I give it to you, but they don't do it. They don't do it. It's a good song, but it's not a good reality if they don't grab a hold of that. We've got to realize that, Lord, everything comes from you. Lord, I am completely dependent upon you. You got that vine, you cut it off by the roots. The thing is going to wither and it's going to die. It will die. But if we stay connected into the Lord, and we will have life and life flows from us, we grow and we produce fruit. There's a total sense of dependency on Christ. Excuse me. It says, remain in me, and I also, this is verse 4, remain in me and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. There's a total dependency upon the Lord. And really that's what prayer acknowledges. Prayer acknowledges, Lord, I can't do this. I don't have the answers. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wealthy enough. I'm not anything enough. Lord, I'm just not enough. I don't have it, Lord. I just don't have what it takes, Lord. But I'm relying upon you, Lord, who is the source of my life. You have everything that I need, Lord. Everything that's required for every circumstance that we face in life. You have everything that you need. If you're tapped into the vine, if you're connected into him, there's there. And so that's a point of intimacy is, yes, that sense he's always with me. But also that sense I'm totally dependent and relying on the Lord. Totally dependent and relying on the Lord. I can't do it. And if we don't pray, and if we're not praying about things and the things that are happening and those kind of things, that's the epitome of arrogance, because that's saying, I can do it, I don't need God. If we're not praying, if we don't pray about things, we're saying, Lord, I don't need you. But when we commit things to prayer, we're saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, I can't do this without you, Lord. Lord, I need your help, Lord. I don't have the resources. I don't have the capacity. But Lord, I'm tapped into the vine, and Lord, there's a life that's far greater than whatever I have. And so it's a part of that intimacy is our prayer. It's expressing the fact that I am reliant on God totally. I need my Lord. I need him. And so the second part of intimacy, one is that sense of abiding that he's just always so close with me. But then that total dependence upon the Lord. And for a moment, if we think that we're not, we can do it without the Lord, we're going to fall. And we're going to find that there's no fruit comes when we try to do it all on our own. But the third part of intimacy, which many of us don't like this word, and it's a critical part of intimacy. It's not just more just, oh, Lord, that I'm with you, and Lord, I need you. But also, it's about I obey you. Being obedient is an important part of intimacy. And that's really being obedient. That's really what sorts out the goats from the sheep, quite literally in heaven, about those who really want to obey the Lord and follow after his ways, that heart of obedience. In John 15:15, it says, you are my friends if you do what I command. Obedience is so important. You can be singing, you know, loving God and intimacy, and you can realize, oh, I need God, I'm lost without him. But if you're not obeying him, you're not in that place of intimacy. If you don't, are not obedient to God's word and what God has said, and you're not following faithfully the things of God, you're not really in a place of intimacy, because one will flow out of the other. He says in the scripture, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. So it's a different relationship. So some of us think about obeying God. It's like, I better do it or else I'm in trouble. I better do that, you know, because if I don't do that, I'm letting God down and I'm failing him. And that's the wrong mindset. You get caught in that. You get caught up in legalism. You'll end up like a Pharisee. You'll end up trying to earn God's love. You're trying to earn everything and try to please him to hopefully be good enough in some way. You'll go right off the wrong track. The way that he says to obey us, obey him, he says, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. Because a servant doesn't know his master's business. He's not intimate with the master. He's not closely connected with the master. He doesn't know what the master's thinking. Doesn't know what the master wants. He just does what he's told to do and does that because he doesn't want to get in trouble. And that's his job anyway, isn't it? But he says more than that. But instead, I've called you friends. Imagine that. The king of the universe calls us friends. For everything I've learned from my father, I've made known to you. And so there's an obedience that will follow out of this intimacy, out of this closeness. It's that sense of abiding. It's a sense of dependency, but obedience. Don't kid yourself to think I'm walking closely with God, but I'm not obeying his commands. I'm compromising on this. I'm doing all of this. We're kidding ourselves if we think that. Because out of that intimacy, those things will flow. Now, none of us can say, well, I'm already there yet. As Paul said, he says, well, I'm not saying I'm already there yet. I'm in that process. But the more and more that we're closely to the Lord, the more we're connected into that vine, then you'll find those things that cause us to be disobedient in our thought, our words or our actions begin to fall away as we're connected into the vine. And we'll find that obeying is not a grudging thing. Oh, great, I have to do this. Oh, I'm on the roster. Oh, I'm supposed to be doing tea and coffee a week. Oh, again, didn't I do it a week ago? Didn't I do it 2 weeks ago? That's what a slave thinks like. That's what a servant thinks like. Oh, I have to do this again. If you think that way, then intimacy is lacking. Build your intimacy. If you ever start acting like I'm a servant or a slave and that I have to do this, and you start gritting your teeth and think, then what you're missing is intimacy. You're missing that relationship. He says, I'm not treating you like a servant. I'm treating you like a friend. And when you're abiding closely with the Lord, and when you're depending on him, and when your heart is, Lord, I just want to obey you, freely and gladly and joyfully do things flow out of our lives. If we ever find ourselves that we're struggling with that, we go back to first base. What's that? It's my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What is my fellowship with him like? How close am I? Have I got that door closed that we talked about a couple of weeks ago? It's so important that we have obedience. It's so important. Our obedience, if we're connected to the vine, we will do that. It'll flow out of who we are, because it's not our life that's flowing through us. It's the life of Christ flowing through. Amen. And obedience is something that we can do. Well, some people, obedience is a bad word. But it's a relational obedience as a friend, not as a servant, and that's how he wants us to obey him. And so fruitfulness, if we're going to be fruitful, and the Lord would come to you and he'd come to me and look at my life and say, well, where's your fruit? Well, if I want to have fruit, I've got to make sure my intimacy is in place. That sense of abiding, that I don't have to reach out to God because he's somewhere over there. He's here. He dwells within me by the power of his spirit. And the sense that he's always with me and walking closely with him. And I can express it, I'll talk to him and I'll pray. But it's not reaching for him out there somewhere. He's in me. He's close to me. And that sense of abiding. Dependency, I can't cut it on my own. I can't do it on my own. I need the Lord and I need his strength and I need his power upon my life. And then also that obedience. I will do what the Lord says, what he says. You know, it's mentioned about tithing. We do that, it says, be a joyful giver. If you're not intimate, having an intimate relationship with the Lord, you ain't going to be a joyful giver. You'll be at best a begrudging giver, like you're paying the tax man. That's what it'll be like. But when you're intimately connected with the vine, and the Lord talks about giving and you know, giving generously, freely, you've received freely, give those things. Not an issue, not a problem, because it just flows, because I'm in that relationship with my Lord Jesus Christ. And so those things aren't such a big deal, aren't such a struggle in my life. And so intimacy, check your intimacy, check that sense of abiding, your reliance on Jesus Christ and obedience to what he has said. The thing is, when we are in that place of intimacy, when we are connected closely to the vine, it tells us something that will come out, a natural outcome that comes out of that as well. And it talks about there in John 15, 12 and 13. It says, my command is this. Remember, it's easy to obey the law because it's built on relationship. It's not on, I'm going to grip my teeth and do it. I can do it because I'm in relationship with him. He says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Now, that's got to be the ultimate command ever given. Love each other as I have loved you. Obviously, love the Lord your God with all your heart. But love each other as I have loved you. Wow. Like, that puts the bar way, way, way up high. Love each other as I have loved you. How has he loved us? He loved us to death, even death on a cross. He laid aside his majesty, his glory, came down and walked on this earth. Man, we look at this earth and some of the stuff goes on and think, man, Lord, take me home now. Some of the things that are in this earth. But he came down, holy, sinless, perfect one, walked among us, and then he got crucified, died on the cross in our place for our sin. What an amazing love. He says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. What an amazing love. He laid his life down for us. And he commands us and he says, you do the same. You do the same. Lay your life down for others. And really that's the heart of flowing out of fruitfulness. It gets down to another word. Some people don't like the obedience word, but there's another word in here, which is the sacrifice word. Laying your life down for other people. Now, you can lay our lives down. We can lay it down for people in our family, because our family, you know, we had a beautiful story that was shared at communion about a mother how just sacrificing herself, and they'll do that. But do you know that even unbelievers will do that? People who don't know Christ will make sacrifices for their family. Do you know that they do that? People will do that. And all sorts of things that people will do. But here it's saying about making a sacrifice. And really, this is where fruitfulness really starts to come out, where fruitfulness begins to become more evident, is when we start to lay our lives down for other people. Because obedience and sacrifice equal inconvenience. If you're obedient to what God is doing and you're sacrificing, it's inconvenient. Look, it's inconvenient. It is convenient. Inconvenient. You know, we're going to Diggers Rest and planting a church there. That's very inconvenient. It's nice to sleep on a Sunday afternoon, isn't it? But when we're doing obedience and sacrifice, there's an inconvenience that comes into it. And if we as people are looking for convenience, or our idea of sacrifice is a slight inconvenience, really, what some of us think is sacrifice, someone who really is sacrificing, like a missionary on the field, like Shirley is going back to Uganda, what sacrifice there to what our idea of sacrifice is for us just a minor inconvenience, really, isn't it? I missed my show to go to the prayer meeting. What a sacrifice. What was minor inconvenience or whatever it is that we do? But there's something out of that intimacy is coming to that place where we're abiding with Christ, where we're depending upon him, where we're being obedient. There's something stirs in my heart. My heart is I don't live my life for myself. I live beyond myself, and I want to have a heart that just lays down my life for others. And when Jesus says, love others even as I have loved you, it's not as a servant saying, well, I better be loving, I better be nice. It flows out of who we are because we're rooted and we are connected into that vine. We have that connection, and it's strong and it's secure in our hearts and in our lives. And so that's a part of it. It'll cause us to do that. And again, to reinforce it, in case you missed the message, at the end of this little section in John 15:7, he says, this is my command, love each other. Get it? That's part of fruitfulness. That really is what fruitfulness is. It's really expressing and showing our love for other people, that ultimately they will become to Christ. It's involved in serving the Lord. It's involved in getting involved, getting our hands dirty, putting ourselves out, being inconvenienced. And rather than living a life of convenience and wanting everything for us and for myself, and oh, I need this and I need that and I want this, it's laying our lives down for other people, and it comes out of that place. It flows out of that. So important that if we're going to be people that are really connected into that vine, that we have that sense of abiding, that sense of dependency, obedience, but then also the heart of sacrifice. And as I said, for some people, obedience and sacrifice are words that they don't like apply to them. A lot of churches, you won't even hear those words. We live in a society where it's all about convenience and it's all about us and it's about what I want. Sacrifice for some is a dirty word, but if you're intimately connected with Christ, it flows out of your life. You do it. You're not questioning it. You're not begrudging it. You're not saying, oh, here we go again. You do it because you have a love for God, and the overflow of the love for God is a love for other people. And you want to help them. You want to serve them. You want them to know also the wonderful love that you have in Jesus Christ. It flows out of us, flows out of our heart. That intimacy leads us to love others. And so if you struggle with that, if you struggle with reaching out to people, I don't really care about them. I know I should share the gospel. I know I should. But I'm too busy, or I'm too scared, or I'm too whatever. I'll get back to, how's my intimacy? How's that going? Where am I in my own walk with God? Where am I in that place? Because we'll have a heart for others to see them saved. We'll have a heart to see them come to Christ. I'll have a heart to serve in some way in the church. I'll get involved. I'll put myself out. I'll inconvenience myself. I'll come to church earlier. I'll do something. I'll get involved because I'm connected to the vine, and I will sacrifice. But I'll do it willingly and gladly and joyfully. And so God wants us to bear fruit. And the way that we bear fruit is we've got to be connected into that vine. And it means something to be connected into that vine. It means everything to be connected in vine. And we know that we are by we look at the fruit of our own life. It'll flow out of us. And maybe some of us need to say, well, today I really want to strengthen that connection. Or maybe I've been disconnected. I want to get back in to the vine because I don't want to wither. I don't want to have the fruit of my life wither and fall off. But ultimately, God wants us to bear fruit. And the only way that you're going to bear fruit is you're going to have to keep growing. Every plant that keeps bearing fruit will keep on growing. It's the life of the growth of that is there's a fruit coming out of their life. What's coming out of your life? What is the fruit? Father in heaven, he's the one who owns the vineyard. He's the one who owns us. He owns your life. And he comes and he's looking for fruit on our life. If we're not growing, you're not going to be producing fruit. And so it's important that we want to keep on growing. And if you've stopped bearing fruit, I'll tell you right now, you've stopped growing. If you're not bearing fruit, you're not touching other people's lives, you're not serving, you're not sacrificing, already you've stopped bearing fruit, already you've stopped growing. So you say, Lord, I want to grow because I know that I want to bear fruit, Lord, and you made me do that. You created me to bear fruit, and I want to have fruit coming out of my heart and in my life. But the other thing, it's today's fruit that God looks for. It's great that you might have born and said, look, I've out of my life, they've made a whole stack of grapes and, you know, a whole lot of fruits come out of my life. Isn't that good? Well, that was good for then. But God is looking for today's fruit. If you got a fruit tree and you have a tree in your yard or wherever you got a tree, it had a great crop on it last season, but you coming this season, you're looking for fruit now. Well, that was great what was done before, but God is looking for now fruit. None of us can say, oh, look, I've done all this in the past. I've sacrificed. I've done all this. I've done all this fruit. And therefore, look, that's it. I've done my bit. Lord, God is looking now. He wants today's fruit on your life and my life. He's looking for your fruitfulness now. Because out of the life that you have now is where the fruitfulness will come. And so none of us can say, oh, look what I've done in the past. Past is gone. Yes, there might be a crown and glory. There might be a reward. But today, God is saying, what is the fruit that you have for your life? It's today's fruit that he looks at. In fact, there's an interesting passage in Luke 13, and it's where there's a vineyard and there's a fig tree planted in this fig tree, and the owner of the vineyard, and now this is really talking more broadly about the kingdom, this analogy. What we're talking about here is really honing us individually. Luke 13 is more broadly for the kingdom, and another parable a little bit later than that. But there's this fig tree that's in this garden, and the gardener comes. The owner of the vineyard comes and checks out his tree, checks out the fig tree. There's no figs on it. And he says to the person who's tending the garden, he says, look, I've been coming to this tree for 3 years looking for some fruit. He says, it's a waste of space. It's taking up soil. Cut it down. And then the one who's running the vineyard, and really this is a picture of Jesus interceding for us, he's saying, look, just do this. So just give me another year. Let's fertilize around. I'll put some fertilizer around it. Maybe God's fertilizing us today. I'll put some fertilizer around this today. I'll put something and then just see how it goes. He says, when you come back, if there's fruit on it, well done. Great. If not, okay, do what you have to do. Lord doesn't want to cut anyone down, and really that's not the heart of what the Lord is saying here. It's not a negative thing that God is saying. This is all positive. It's all about love, and it's all about life. And the encouragement is just bear fruit. Stay connected to the vine, and let there be a fruitfulness evident from your life. And so the fruit is, it's really two things when we look at the fruit. And it really is both these things. The fruit is who you are and what you do. It's really both of those things, not one without the other. Because God obviously looks at character. God is very interested in your character. He's interested in your integrity. Part of integrity, are you on time? Do you do what you say? All of those things are integrity issues, and God looks at those things. He looks at our character. Are we honest? Do we keep our word? If my name's down on a roster, do I turn up? Do I do the things that I'm supposed to do? Those things are all a part of fruitfulness, part of the character. God is interested in your character far more than anyone else is. God is interested. It's part of our fruit. The fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, meekness, long-suffering, self-control, all of those things. God's interested in our character. He's interested in who we are. And so that's one part of the fruit. Of who we are, the kind of person that we are. God is interested in that. And we cannot do a whole lot of other stuff and miss that. Because if we do a whole lot of stuff and we don't have that, then we really, again, we have nothing. Our character is really important. Are you a person of integrity? Are you do that? If you're on a roster, do you turn up? Do you do the things that you say you're going to do? There's another parable, I think it's in Matthew, around about 21, there's somewhere around there, there's these two sons. And the father says to them, go work in the vineyard. One of the guys says, yeah, no worries, Dad, I'll go and do it. But then he forgets and doesn't do it. And then there's another son who says, no, I'm not going to do that. Then he says, oh, all right, I'll go there. And all right, he goes and he works in the vineyard. And then Jesus asks these bunch of Pharisees, he says, which one did what the father wanted? The Pharisees all go, oh, the second one, because he went and he worked in the vineyard. Jesus going, ah, no, guys. Neither of them did really what the father wanted. Because one said he was going to do something and didn't do it. And one said he wasn't going to do it, ended up doing it. But neither of them had the right heart. God was interested in the heart. Jesus is interested in our heart. When the father inspects our lives, he's looking to our heart saying, what is in your heart? And the other thing is what you do. The fruitfulness of that. How well are you showing the love of Christ? How well are you sacrificing for others? Are you sacrificing for others? Is there part of your life that is a sacrifice for other people, where you're laying down your life for others? Where is that? What does that look like? Are you doing that? Because that's a part of the fruitfulness. Are you serving in some way? Are you helping some way? Are you reaching out to others? Are you showing Christ? It's a part of our fruit. And the important thing, and don't miss this point, you know, I really want you to listen to it, because you may miss everything if you miss this point. And it's really, really important, is what the Lord is saying to us in this passage, that the definition of who we are is not found in the fruit. It's not found in what we do. The definition of who we are is found in the vine. It's found in Jesus Christ. Really important. Because if we find who we are and get the sense of who we are by what I do, oh, look at me, I'm a pastor, that becomes my identity, I've missed it all. I do this, and look what I do, that becomes my identity, I've missed it. I've totally missed it. Because my identity does not come out of the fruit of my life. My identity must only and always come out of the vine. If it comes from anything or anywhere else, we're on dangerous territory. And we will fall one way or the other if our definition comes from the fruit. Must come from the vine. Who we are in Christ, that's so important, that the definition comes from who we are, not by what we do. That's so important. Don't mess that one up. And just as we finish in a moment, it says in John 15:11, see, the outcome of this stuff, what's the outcome of an intimate life, abiding with Christ, depending upon him, walking in obedience, sacrificing for others, putting yourself out for others, serving others? Yeah, I'm going to be bearing fruit, but also there's going to be a joy in my heart. It says, John 15:11, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Now just imagine, what does God's joy look like? You know, just think of human joy. Someone's really joyful, you know, they're happy, jumping around, whatever it is. However you express joy, Toyota, what a feeling, whatever it is. Imagine God's joy. Imagine God's joy. How does God's joy look like? But he says that my joy may be in you, and the more that we are intimate with him, the more that we've got the heart of love, and the more the joy of the Lord begins to flow out of us. And tell you what, when you're going through a tough time, there's nothing that will stain you more than the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And it's the joy of the Lord, not joy in the Lord. It's God's joy in me. And how do I get God's joy in me? I get that through intimacy and depending upon him and obeying him and having a heart to lay down for others. And then the joy of the Lord comes, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the final outcome in verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit. Ultimately, it's all about giving glory to God, isn't it? If you want to live a life and you've only got one of them and you don't get it back again, well, you've been born again, but now as you live your days, you want to live your life for glory, for Father's glory. You don't want to be one of these ones who look back and see regret. But what they say is that people don't regret really what they have done. Older people, when they get to the end of their days, they regret all the things they didn't do. And we don't want to be a regretful people. We want to be able to look back and say, well, Lord, thankfully, because I trusted you, I depended upon you, Lord, and I obeyed you the best I could and did all that I could, Lord, and I sacrificed the best I could and I loved others, and there's a fruit that I can look back and the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant. So your character is important, your fruit is very important, what we do. And so I just believe the Lord wanted to challenge us, challenge every one of us today. The Father in heaven, he's the fruit inspector. He comes to us. And look at your own heart in your own life without making all the excuses that we want to make. We're very good at that. Say, Lord, I want to make sure I'm connected to that vine. I want to be connected so closely with Jesus Christ. I want to be connected with him. And Lord, out of that, Lord, I want to have that dependency upon you, Lord. And I want to obey you, Lord. I don't want to make excuses why I disobey. Lord, I'm going to walk in that obedience. I want to have the heart for others. Allow your joy in your life to come, Lord. I want to glorify, Lord. I want to be fruitful in my life. So let's stand up. I'm going to pray for us this morning, and the musicians are going to come as we do that. But I just want to pray for us. And this is you inspecting your own heart. Where's your fruit? You say, I haven't got any fruit. Well, then I'd say first thing to do is get connected to the vine. Reconnect yourself to the vine. Allow the Lord to. Maybe there's some fertilizer going down. Maybe some things are happening, and it's all because God wants you to bear fruit in the end. He wants us to be fruitful. So let's look at our own heart. Father, we just come before you now. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that you are the vine and we are the branches. Lord, we want to be so closely connected to you. Father, I just pray, Lord, that our mindset will change. Lord, you're not a distant God, Lord. You're the abiding God who remains in us, Lord, and we remain in you. Lord, we just thank you for that. Even as you promise us what we want and it will be done, if we have that heart, Lord, if we once saw that, Lord, that we're just dependent upon you, Lord. I think all of us here realize, Lord, we need you, Lord, that without you, we're nothing. Lord, we know that, Lord. And Father, we just thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for obedience. With some struggle with obedience to do what your word is right, what your word says, Lord, to obey you, Lord. Pray, Father, there'll be hearts that are surrendered this day and say, Lord, I'm going to obey you. And Father, for those who struggle with sacrifice because it's inconvenient, because it costs something. Father, I pray they'll say, Lord, I'm just sorry, Lord, I'm just going to sacrifice for you. Lord, not because I have to and not because I feel condemned that I don't, but Lord, I realize how much you love me. And out of that love relationship I have with you, Lord, it just overflows. So let there be an overflowing heart. Lord, I speak that overflowing heart into every one of us. Lord, out of knowing how loved we are and loving you so much, Lord, that there'll be that overflowing heart of love to help others, to serve others, Father. Lord, to touch other lives, to reach out, Father. Lord, let that be a portion, Father. Lord, let there be a lot of fruit. Lord, that our character will be sound. And Father, that there'll be evidence, Lord, of what people see, the things that we do. Lord, will be evidence, Lord, that we really are your disciples, Father. Lord, let that joy be in our lives, Lord, the thing that keeps us. The joy of the Lord, which is our strength. And Father, ultimately, we want you to be glorified. Lord, let every one of us, Lord, that when we down before our last dying breath, Lord, that we're able to look back and say, Lord, I tended my vineyard. Lord, I looked after, Lord. I produced fruit, Lord, and I know that you helped me, Lord. I know you gave me the strength. But Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you were glorified. Lord, be glorified for every life that is here today. Father, if anyone doesn't know Jesus Christ today, Father, I pray, Lord, to give them the strength and courage and say, I'm just a disconnected branch that's going to wither and die and blow away in the wind, but I want to come into life. I want to come to Jesus. He's the source of life. Father, if there's anyone here that doesn't know Jesus today, Lord, let them come and say, I want to get connected in. I've got to get connected to that vine. I need his life because I know I can't do it on my own. Father, I pray you give them the courage this day. But Lord, we honor you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. We're going to sing this together. If you need prayer this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Allow the Lord to really touch your life.